What a joy to be a part of this wonderful worship in this wonderful city of Houston, of which you're privileged to be a part, second only, of course, to New York. But it's wonderful to be invited by your dean and my good friend for some years now. What a joy it is for you to have one of our best priests in the country join you, what, 2 years ago? As I said, 4 years ago. But I know he loves being here as much as you love to have him. What a blessing, what a blessing. I came from North Carolina, where I don't have any vestments, where my wife has a small country inn hotel, a hiking resort in the mountains. By the way, she said, if I mention it, be sure to tell you the telephone number is 828-927. And when I called the dean and said I don't have a vestment, he said, well, I'll loan you one. So this is a loaner. Hope it's not too shabby. I think it's all right. By the way, you know, if you go into the vesting room of a Baptist church where the clergy get ready for the service, in that room, you'll always see a picture of Jesus. And if you go into a Roman Catholic sacristy where the priests get ready for the Mass, you'll always see a picture of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And if you go into an Episcopal church where the clergy get ready for the Eucharist, you'll always see a full-length mirror. I checked. A few years ago, I was with my wife at the inn that sits on top of a mountain about 14 miles up out of town, up on a gravel road. And I said to her, my camera that needed a battery, and it wasn't a normal battery, unusual little battery, I said, I'm going to take your car and drive down into the town of Waynesville, 14 miles away. Drive down into Waynesville and get a battery. And by the way, I think the only place in Waynesville that will have this little tiny battery is Walmart. Now, for those of you who don't know New York very well, there's not one Walmart in New York. As a matter of fact, it's 35 miles to the nearest Walmart. So for Diener to allow me to go to Walmart for the first time all by myself with her car, you can imagine her freedom that she was giving me. And I got in the car, went down, and got into Walmart, headed with that little gray-headed woman at the door. She said, the batteries for cameras are way back in the back. So I headed back where there were camera back. But I didn't get very far before I passed this big rack of Coca-Colas. There were cases of Coca-Colas, and there was the price. I multiplied it out, 27 cents a can. They're giving them away. In comparison with the New York prices, that's even more important. So I went to back to the front of the store and got a cart. Now, those of you who know New York know that the grocery stores are pretty small, and the aisles are terribly small, and the carts are just about this big. They're just little carts. Walmart has carts. I got one of those big carts, and I got those Coca-Cola. I got four or five of those cases and threw them down on that bottom thing at the bottom. Headed back to the... Well, before I got to the batteries, there were paper towels. They were giving them away. The price... So I put some paper... Well, I finally got back and got my little battery. God came up. But before I got out to the checkout, I had loaded that cart up to the top. I could hardly wait. I got it to get into the car, and I piled him in the back of Dieter's little Subaru wagon, and it filled up that back end. So excited, I could hardly wait. She heard me coming up the mountain, so she came out to greet me. She didn't say a word. She just began looking in the windows. She walked around the car twice, looking in the window. And finally, she said, "And we don't need any of it." Ever done that? Yeah, you probably have. We all have. Because we live in a culture where every one of us believes, I don't quite have enough. Oh, we know other people that have plenty. We can look around and say, oh, she, if I had what she, and some of us have actually thought enough about it to say, if we only had X dollars, like win the lottery or something, we would be happy. You see, every one of us has this strange, it's like almost a disease, isn't it? That none of us has enough. Others might, but we all feel like we need a little bit more. Isn't it strange that in the nation that's reputedly the wealthiest nation in the history of all the world, we all have a feeling that we don't have enough? A couple of years ago, the Wall Street Journal had an article about the fastest growing business in America. I was fascinated to read that article. You know what the fastest growing business in America a couple of years ago was? The construction of these little mini warehouses. Sometimes you see them on the edge of small towns. You wonder where all the stuff comes from that fills them up. But you see, after we fill the closets, in the garage, in the basement, in the attic, then we have to go someplace and rent a storage bin to put all of our and we feel like we don't have enough. You see, that concept of there's not enough for me, there's scarcity, is totally antithetical to the gospel. You remember the stories. They were all over the New Testament. Jesus, wherever he went, there was plenty. Abundance. You remember the feeding of the 5,000 story? It's in all four gospels. Very few stories are in all four gospels. You remember the little boy had the loaves and the fishes? And when Jesus' disciples got panicky and said, where are we going to get enough food to have these people eat? You remember after he took the loaves and fishes, there was enough. And they had some left over. Abundance. You remember the story of Peter and his friends who were professional fishermen. They'd been out all night long and had caught nothing. They were rowing into the shore. Dawn was breaking. And they saw this person on the shore. It was Jesus. And Jesus saw them coming in, rowing in, and he cupped his hands and said to Peter and his friends in the boat, "Throw the net on the other side of the boat." Peter had been fishing all night long. And a preacher is going to stand on the shore and tell him how to fish? You can imagine what Peter said to his fishermen in the boat. "Throw the net on the other side." But the miracle is, he in fact threw the net on the other side of the boat. And you remember the story. There were so many fish he could hardly take it. The net was about to break, so the fisherman called the men on the shore and said, "Come out quick, help us, we're about to break the nets, we're so full of fish." Wherever Jesus went, there was an abundance. Remember the first miracle of Cana in Cana of Galilee? Remember? Remember what happened? They ran out of wine. You don't run out of wine at a wedding. So what do? They rushed up to Mary and said, "Mary, we've run out of wine. What should we do?" So they went over to Jesus. Now you have to understand that the Jewish religion had huge big water pots for their purification rites. The scholars tell us, the scripture says 6 water pots. The scholars tell us that probably about maybe 25 gallons of water in each one of those water pots. 6 water pots, 25 gallons apiece, turned into wine. They needed an AA chapter at that wedding feast. Always in abundance. You know what life's like when you're with a friend who's a generous friend. There's always plenty, isn't there? But you see, you and I live in a dominant culture that whispers to us, don't have enough. The Advertising Agency of America, the Council of America, rather, the Advertising Council announced not very long ago that the average in America, and I think that includes you and me, perhaps, the average American sees 1,000 ads every single day. Now just imagine. 1,000 times a day, I see something that tells me I don't have enough. My life is full of scarcity. So when we come here, it's when we come here once a week, we need to hear the language again, don't we? The language of abundance. We need to hear the blessings that God has given us. We need to be reminded from this pulpit and from the classes and from the hymns and from the scripture, because we tend to forget the minute we go out these doors, because the dominant culture tells us over and over again, we don't have enough. I love the story of the mother cat. This mother cat was out on a pretty day, not unlike today. She was walking with her 3 little kittens. Along came a ferocious dog on the horizon toward her. She quickly took the 3 little kittens and found a little porch and squeezed those little kittens under the porch in a safe place, and then left the kittens and headed toward the dog. They got closer and closer and closer until the mother cat was almost nose to nose to the big ferocious dog, and she looked him in her eyes and she went, "Huff, huff, huff." With that, the dog turned 180 degrees and ran the other way. Then the mother cat crawled back under the porch, squeezed in next to her kittens, and looked them in the eye and said, "Now I'm going to explain to you why I insist you learn a second language." This is a second language we speak in here. It's the language of abundance. And when we're so influenced in the dominant culture with scarcity, we begin to believe that maybe there's
maybe there's not enough love for me to give except to those that are special and important to me. Maybe I ought to save my love and not give it away freely because I might not have enough for those who are special to me. Oh, it's one thing to have a scarcity of material goods. Oh, it's a totally different thing when we begin to get scarce with love and we begin to feel it. And we begin to feel our friends are not quite as loving as I remember there having been. And we think things like, it seems like when grandmother and grandfather, there was more love in our family. Because it wasn't so scarce. And people gave it away more freely. You see, that's what happened at 9/11, isn't it? Even in the city of New York, we loved one another with abandon. Oh yes, the subway doors opened and people said, "Go, you go first." It was a totally different city because love was given away and abandoned. It was without strings. You see, that's the language that you and I have learned here, because that's the language God wants us to speak, and the love that He gives to us that we give away with no strings attached to others. Remember that battery? Walmart. After I was scolded by my wife, I went upstairs to the bedroom, opened the closet door, and reached up on the shelf to take the camera down to install my new battery. There, sitting next to the camera, were two other cameras that worked fine. You see, I really didn't need that battery at all. Amen.